Hi there. Welcome to Conscious Living. I'm Wendy. Wendy Garrett. Thanks for tuning in. I appreciate your time. Glad to have you along. Get ready for a fun hour. We're going to be talking about crystals, crystal over soul, new earth attunements. And this is just, to me, fascinating because no matter what kind of esoteric material that you're learning, every single detail makes a difference. It's like fractal. When you see this stuff, there's just no end. It's continue. And that's what is so inspiring to me about the material and about the ascension process, the evolution process, learning, exploring, empowering ourselves to be creators beyond our wildest dreams. And Michael has tapped into this. Michael Eastwood is my guest. I have the book. What I have is these are little cards, the affirmation cards, work cards, whatever, beautiful cards that help you tune into and expand your awareness, your horizons, working with this kind of material. And Michael is in the UK, and we finally figured out how to call him. In the U.S., we're not used to all these complicated things like, you know, country codes. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I love your stuff. It's fascinating. And you were called to this a few years back. Can you mind starting with that, how you took this path?
The path to crystals and my involvement with them started when I was in my early 20s. And it was around about the time of the harmonic convergence. And I'm guessing within a lot of my direct community, spiritual community, as well as a worldwide community, there was what I'd look back now and say there was an activation of, it seems like thousands and thousands of beings. And I was one of those. And crystals are something that I sort of quite naturally gravitated towards without necessarily understanding or having any background to them whatsoever. And somebody gave me a crystal in a meditation group I was in and said it was pretty. It was a nice stone, and I'd never really encountered a crystal before then. And they said to me, oh, I had just a feeling to buy this for you. And I still got the crystal, and that was sort of the beginning of my journey, really. And I found that I just learned about crystals through my own direct experience. In the beginning, I got a couple of books on them, and some of them I related to, some of them I found a bit strange at the time, talking about Atlantis and such things, which I had no conscious understanding of those subjects at the time. Uh-huh. And I do now. And, but anyway, at the time then, there were certain elements I got and certain elements I thought were a bit silly at the time. But anyway, now I'm writing
that
and teaching.
Part, okay, just pause for a minute, because that part I think is fascinating, because when we are called to this and the information starts getting a little bit more funky. Like the first time I was given this thing of, you're going through ascension. Now I get it from my guides. I'm like, ascension? What? You know, and I'm thinking, now this is not my, this isn't my stuff. Something's wrong here. I'm just misinterpreting it. But yeah, that was the shift, the switch, the on switch that said, I'm one of these people who has been tuned in and for whatever reason, activated, aware. And we all have different language for it. But that beginning of this thinking, well, that's just too far out. No. And then all of a sudden you find yourself in the middle of it and go, oh.
Yeah. Giving radio interviews about the subject.
Yeah.
That's what I find strange sometimes. I think it's often these things are gradual sort of procession towards subjects, which seem a bit strange when we're first presented with them. And yeah, but I now see that I'm sort of part of a generation who were reawakened because we live in a very important age, and we needed to be consciously doing our thing, whatever our thing may be, during this time, because we live in a pivotal time in human evolution. And I feel that I'm a part of a bigger picture, a bigger mandala of other beings, or finding what it is we're here to do and doing that to the best of our ability.
That's what's so fascinating, because each of us, we all have our own specific talents or callings or the way that we are programmed. When those things start happening, it's just like this natural unfoldment, and you think, but I didn't know I knew this, and I still don't know it. It just seems to be here, and I'm working with it, and things flow. And that's what, to me, I think is so exciting about a lot of this. And not the other thing, too, is that we live the circumstances of our time. We are living in a much more open arena environment where we're not chastised or silenced because what we are talking about is frightening to others. And we've gone through, you know, thousands, I think, of years of repressing this when it became too contrary or too challenging to a society that required people to believe one thing and one thing only.
Yeah. And I think there's just so many of our voices being heard. And also we're a generation who can use language to express what we need to say, and also social media, for example. You know, we have the tools to be able to get our message out without it being edited by forces that maybe don't like what it is we have to say. You know, we live in an age where there's amazing opportunities for us to express our truth, whatever our truth may be. And I think the central theme of that for most people is that our truth is independent. It is something, it's not a dogma, and it's not a, I speak my truth to the best of my ability, but your truth will be unique and different for you. But it doesn't mean either of our truths are wrong or better than each other. They're just our truths. And that's a very unusual process, because normally we're sort of patterned to, you know, take somebody's truth and worship it and or follow it dogmatically and believe it and not think for ourselves. And that's the wonderful thing about our time, but also the challenge of our time as well, because we're independent beings, we're vast beings here at a particular time in evolution, and part of that challenge is to speak our truth. And my particular truth of speaking is working with crystals, writing about crystals, teaching with crystals. And I personally have never been challenged around the subject, but I do know people in the past that were, who found it difficult to come to that field. But for me, it's been relatively plain sailing. It's been great, because when I first started, I thought I was going to, when I was about 22, I retired from life and working, as one does.
Well, that's 20. Fine. Just brag.
And I just said, okay, I'm just not going to, even if it means I'm really poor, I'm just not going to work. I could see at that time this sort of everything laid out in front of me with a job, retirement, and I thought, nope, I don't know. I didn't know what I know now. But anyway, at that time, I just said, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to give it all up and trust and take a leap of faith and trust in my inner guidance. And at the time, I thought I was going to go to India. That was, for my generation, the natural gravitation, really. I thought, I'll go to India. You can be really poor there. And, I can be spiritual and poor there.
Right. It's okay there. Yeah, they're used to it.
Absolutely. And lo and behold, the sort of crystal kingdom sort of claimed me for itself, really, because it wasn't until about 10 years later, dealing, writing, and being with crystals, I realized I'd never gone to India, and I never was likely to go to India, because my business and my writing had so taken off. Mm-hmm. And it was only after about 10 years I thought, I think my work with crystals is what I'm meant to be doing. I never was meant to go to India, but I had to give it all up. I had to make that leap of faith.
Yeah.
And sometimes in this field, that's what's required of us to let go and to trust ourselves.
Well, and that can be frightening, especially when you're looking at something that's solid Yeah. Or appears to be solid. I've seen a lot of these things that appear to be solid just completely dissolve given the economic terrain of the time or the political wheel taking over. And you thought you had money and you thought you had assets, and all of a sudden that just is it evaporates. But well, with I'm the
not,
crystals.
I'm not saying it's easy at all. It was, and I know people who've sort of I've worked with who've done that process. And it hasn't worked out for them at all. They've fallen flat on their face, and they've ended up poor and in debt. And you know, it's not an easy process. And sometimes, I personally think it's all about timing. There's a certain timing of our being. I don't know the magic code for knowing when the correct timing is. If I did, I'd probably be a Bill Gates, but I don't. All I know for myself is that I have a certain divine timing of things, and I normally just wait until the tide is ripe to do something.
Well, there's something in the inner guidance that all of a sudden there's the energy to support it, and you have this little nudge, this little urge, I will go do this. I don't know why, but it just seems right, and you go in, and all of a sudden, things like a chain reaction. It just like all of a sudden everything falls into place, and you thought, well, I did that 6 months ago, or 5 years ago, or 10 years ago. Why didn't it work then? And you're right. There's something else that needs to fall into place before this will just do that little everything fall like it was meant to be, and you're like, whoa. Yeah.
And there's no, you know, there's no shortcut. There's no magic way of doing it. And sometimes it is doing it just when we're most frightened of doing it and most frightened of failing. Mm-hmm. And I know when I did, I was very fortunate in as much I'd given up work. I had no employment. I had no money. And I was fortunate that I could move into my mother's home, so I had no outgoings as such. And I had an innate sense at 22 that I had no commitments whatsoever. So if I failed, I would fail. I had nothing to lose. And I had this odd feeling that if I left it too long, I would have more commitments, and therefore it would be much harder to do. Mm-hmm. And there was just something about that age where I thought, I've got absolutely nothing to lose, and it's the only time I can do it. It felt like a portal of, this is the time to do it and make it happen. Yeah. And also, I'm a great believer in just making things up as they go along. Sometimes people think I was given some divine map that said, do this and do, and you know, and it was never like that for me. I just make it up as I go along and just hope for the best. Unfortunately, so far, it's always worked out the absolute best for me, because I don't think we're given, you know, I don't think our inner guidance gives us a booming voice and says, turn left, turn right. You know, it's down to us to trust our inner guidance, but at the same time, it's down to us to take that risk, and even the risk of being wrong, or even moving or taking a step at the wrong time is all part of that process.
And that, it's that thing of, it has to be your idea. It has to come from within. And when that clicks, everything else has permission to fall into place. Now, I want to get into the book, The Crystals Oversoul, New Earth Attunements, the cards. I have them in front of me, and they're beautiful. I was wondering, did you do this with a kaleidoscope? These pictures are just gorgeous.
they are meant to be, I loved kaleidoscopes. Well, I still like kaleidoscopes. Mm-hmm. They are based on photographs of crystals, and I took segments of pictures and then overlapped them in Photoshop.
Oh!
And created a mandala, repeating sometimes 4 times, 6 times, 8 times, 12 times the image over and over again until I got the mandala that I was happy with.
Excellent. Well, it's to me, they're a mix between a fractal and a kaleidoscope. And I love kaleidoscopes. I have a little teeny tiny collection because they're my favorite.
Well, I feel that I'm in a tradition of other people who are working directly with mandalas and kaleidoscopes. We have an innate something within our DNA which is very drawn to circles and forms that draw our eye into the center. And I remember the first time, again, when I was about in my 20s, when I first started practicing meditation, one of the first things I saw was this tunnel and this sort of central light. And I'm guessing, while we're talking about it now, that that's why I'm so drawn to those things, because I think those, when we're working with a circle and our eye goes to the center, there's something immensely centering about that process. And many indigenous cultures throughout time have used that same process and been drawn to that same process in meditation, in architecture, in ritual. And I'm just following in a very, very long line of other people who've seen the potential of working with circles.
Well, when you're working with the guides or the energies, the essences that show up to help with this process, with the attunement, what I found fascinating was that there was an insistence that there were card 1 through 44 would come out first, and then 45 to 66 would be later. And it's like that, the timing thing. Can you address that a little bit? Because I also think that's a really fascinating piece of the equation.
Thank you. Not many people have asked. I've done lots of radio recently, and not anyone else has noticed that. So thank you very much.
I think it's important.
Oh, thank you. At last, I can talk about it. When I was first making the mandalas, and deciding the cards, the images for cards 1 to 44, I had also, because I was in this flow and I just kept making more and more and more, and then I had to edit them down and just choose 44. So I had these 22 spare, which are now cards 45 to 66, and I looked and I thought, it's a shame not to use them, but my inner guidance was to concentrate on 1 to 44. And so I did, and they were published to great acclaim and have been published around the world. And then last year and the year before, I found myself being drawn back to the unpublished cards, numbers 45 to 66. And I had my inner guidance was now is the time to release those images and those cards, because we had passed what my inner guidance and the crystal beings were saying to me is that we had to pass the stage of 2012. We'd had to pass that initiation before the next 22 cards could come out, because they're part of a new earth. They're part of a new cycle that we've entered into, and they were not part of the old cycle. So when you work with cards number 1 to 44 and then cards number 45 to 66, you're working with sort of old earth and new earth simultaneously. So the new images are very related to our ongoing journey of ascension and here to assist us. They're all here, all 66 mandalas are here to assist in our journey and to make our journey as graceful as possible.
Okay, now what I'm going to do, I don't know if anybody's done this, but I wanted to share with you, because you're the teacher, you're the educator with this stuff, and I thought, okay, what I'll do is I'll draw some cards and give you a way to translate this material, so when somebody gets their own cards, they'll understand after listening to you explain how they relate, how to use the cards. Is that okay?
Yeah, my normal way of using the cards or encouraging people to use the cards is in to draw a card and to meditate on it. And, I mean, you can draw a card on purpose as well. You know, you read through the book and think, oh, I need that particular energy at the moment by reading the book. And then to have that card around for meditation, for contemplation, for support at that particular time. But I'm happy to do it another way as well, if you want to draw a card and where we just see what comes through.
I'll give you an idea. Okay. Mm-hmm. First, when I first got the cards, I immediately thought, okay, so what's the purpose of the book? What is this? Why am I drawn to this? Because I was really excited. It's like, oh, these are cool. I got to talk to this guy. This is excellent. Now, my partner, he knows rocks and he knows stones. He knows gems. He was the one who convinced me that it had relevance, because when I connected with him, all of a sudden this whole world came to life, and I had energy impact from different types of stones that I'd never, ever been aware of, and was like, whoa, this is a kick in the... Okay, so when I drew it, I wanted to know which one, and it would set the tone. So I drew, and it was the Star Child 50, the Isis Quartz. That was the one that was set the tone for this. And from there, I decided, well, then I'm going to do a reading for today. And last night I was preparing. Say, okay, what are we going to deal with? And so I went from there to give you an idea of the tone for the day, for this moment, for many of us who are in this spot. Not just for me, but I was looking for a greater picture of what we might all be collectively going through on some level. So I drew that last night, Ruby Aura. And I thought, well, maybe I'm out of sync with that. So I put it back. And I drew three cards today. Three's always been a good number for me. The Trinity, basically. 46, again, it was the last card I drew. And I drew 61, the Pink Opal, 58, the Amalite, and 46, the Ruby Aura. So I thought, okay, well, obviously that's a sequence. There's a reason for the ruby to be there. And the other two are basically supports and a foundation or a tool. And we're wrapping up, so if we need to take a break during this to go into the next break, that's fine. But I thought this would give an overlay of how you interpret working with these types of energies. Now, is that possible?
Yeah, okay. So, Ruby Aura, Amolite, and what was the other one?
The Pink Opal.
Pink Opal. Okay, and so there's. So I'm just writing this down, and so I can draw the cards as well and have them in front of me. Well, I'm guessing. What I would say, I mean, the most prominent card from that is the Ruby Aura, and Ruby Aura, if I'm reading this sort of collectively for anyone that's listening to this.
Yes.
Ruby Aura, for me, is very much about empowerment and empowering, remembering how powerful we are. And sometimes we just forget that, you know, we put our power in other people's hands, that they have the power to make us happy, to make us abundant, to make us whatever. And Ruby Aura is often just remembering that we have the power to make happen within us what it is we want. And maybe that's indicating that we might have forgotten that at the moment. And with the other two cards supporting that as well, it's connected to cycles and how we might be in a cycle at the moment which is sort of reminding us. And sometimes those reminders can be... reminding us of our power can sometimes be quite painful, where we think, oh, you know, I'm there is how with the Pink Opal is softening that energy and softening the process, where we sometimes we can, in upsetting situations, we can learn that what is upsetting is actually just reminding us of how powerful we can be. And how free we need to be as well, because when we're putting our power in other people's hands, we're not free. We're somehow tied to them and waiting for them to do something. So that would be my interpretation of the reading, is saying free ourselves and don't forget to reclaim our inner power and bring it back out of other people's hands.
I like that, and let me explain just a little bit why. This is Empower Radio, and so for the first card, and the card that I couldn't let go of, that it came back that second time to say, this is it, you know, this is a focus, don't lose track, trust, there was the Ruby Aura, and it's like, aha, and so, you know, to say, what is this about, the first thing you say, well, empowerment, la la, okay. It's just, that's it. This is how this stuff works, you know?
Yeah.
And says, I just wanted a demonstration. So anybody who's listening, trust your gut. trust this stuff that doesn't have any rhyme or reason, but has a sync within you, because that's how it works. And it's a phenomenal thing when we let go of trying to force something or to linear say A equals this, or, you know, follow it 1, 2, 3, 4 logic. This stuff isn't about logic, but it's about something we know even better that we're born with. That's that ascension process right now that we're relating into. The next say, the next phase, the next segment of this show, I want to get more into what you do and what you've learned in working with the many students you've had over the years about how best for people to activate their own energy at this time. Is that, can you do that?
I'll try.
I like that answer. Okay. We're talking with Michael Eastwood. He's dynamic presence when it comes to crystals. Crystal Oversoul, New Earth Attunements. Back with more Conscious Living.
Do you get tired of styling your hair every day? And do you want a good hairstyle every day? Hi, I'm Sarah Schuster. I went on a website called inventnow.org. And after that, I decided to invent something too. Something called the Insta-Do. Just imagine, you just put it over your head like a helmet does, and you pick your hairstyle with the buttons on the side. And you can have instant hairstyle in seconds. People like it. People like Jeff Bart.
I like it.
And people like Kenneth.
It's this helmet thing, and it fits over your head, and it's
great.
Thank
you, Kenneth. You should go to inventnow.org, and it could help you come up with your own invention. After all, look at me on the radio now.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at inventnow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Hey, Larry, mind if I sit down?
Nope.
This coffee tastes like coffee. So what's going on?
Not much.
What's new?
Not much.
Okay, but can you please put the newspaper down while you say not much?
What newspaper?
This newspaper. Oh, dude! What happened to your face? I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6...
Ow.
Dude, what is
Ow.
This? 11 pieces of toilet paper stuck to your face?
I'm shaving in the dark to save energy. I'm helping the environment.
That's a dangerous way to help the environment.
Well, sometimes you have to sacrifice yourself for the greater good.
Dude, there's an easier and safer way to help the environment without sacrificing yourself. Go green, go public. Take public transportation. It's good for the environment and you won't have to live behind a newspaper.
Wow.
But for now, put the newspaper back up.
A message from the public transportation systems across the country. To learn more, visit publictransportation.org.
I'm home, and I love it. I'm home where I belong. I'm home, and I love it. I'm home where I belong.
It's always nice to come home, but these days, many Americans are at risk of foreclosure and losing their homes. Fortunately, help is available. Making Home Affordable is a free program from the U.S. government that has already helped over 1 million struggling homeowners, and we want to help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
And I love it. I'm home.
I'm home.
Find out now what your options are. Go to makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE. The sooner you act, the better chance we can help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
Where I be.
Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Conscious Living Empower Radio. Hi there, I'm Wendy, and we are continuing our talk with Michael Eastwood on the Crystal Oversoul New Earth Attunements. Okay, so in addition to retiring at 22, so to speak, just not doing the job, but going on a self-directed course where you followed your own intuition, your awareness. I'm sorry, my throat there. I got the honey working in the background here. It works. That's something that people now, depending on whatever age they are, they're having this sense of, what if I just do this? And you are giving them tools to help, I think, facilitate that process through the crystals. Everybody's going to find a tool that's right for them. But crystals can be super, super physical manifestations. And you can communicate with them too when you learn how to open up your intuitive skills. And so it's really, I think, a unique process that a lot of people are ready for. And they may not have developed or fallen into, like with my partner, Andy. I was just blown away. He says, you really need this stone. Now take this with you and it will work. Just do it. And I'm like, okay, fine. And I was like, oh my gosh, it does. And they talk. I was surprised the first time I heard we went into like a gem and mineral show. And I heard different stones. I heard them speak. And I'm thinking, whoa, it blew me away.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm talking with you, because I have had these experiences and I know it works on different levels for each and every person. But as you are doing, you're also teaching and you've had students. How do you help people develop their own process of awakening with this?
Well, it's not everyone's cup of tea, crystal healing. Some people, when they begin courses with me, I can start quite large groups, and this is my 2-year training I'm referring to. And some people come into it and think, oh yeah, it's just crystal healing. And I think I teach from a quite serious angle for them to take the subject very seriously. And some people can be surprised by how powerful crystals are. And my processes are encouraging people to take the subject seriously and their healing potential very seriously. So therefore, some people back away from that quite quickly because they're not in the right place or they're not ready for that. Or sometimes people can be quite shocked by their own healing potential, especially when they're with crystals, because essentially, crystals amplify our own ability amplify our intuition. Therefore, we need to sort of be in charge of our energy when we're working with crystals. If our energy is scattered, then crystals are going to amplify our scatteriness. And obviously, if we're clear and we're coming from a good place, crystals are going to amplify that. So I have worked with people where they sort of turn around and blame crystals for their energy or their processes without them understanding that the crystals aren't doing anything, really. They're just being themselves. They're just amplifying. And so crystals are extremely potent. And my work is hopefully encouraging people to take their energy and the energy they're emitting seriously, and to take responsibility for it, and therefore their crystal healing process can be a magnificent process. And I'm not saying we shouldn't work with crystals if we're not feeling good, or we're feeling under the weather, or we're feeling negative, or whatever. That's okay, and that's all part of our sort of human experience. It's not about we can only work with crystals when we're perfect, or anything like that. But it's choosing the right crystals for the right time, for the right occasion, and because some crystals can amplify our energy, which is great, of course, if we're feeling fantastic. But if we're not, then we need other crystals to help us get more back into our center, to reclaim more of our, if we're scattered, to bring our energy back inwards so that we're more contained with our energy. So my training is often helping people get to the point where they, because it takes 2 years, training with me, getting people to the point where they can identify, when they're working with a client, can identify why the clients come and what crystals are going to help the process and going to help, importantly, help the client discover more of themselves. And discover, often people come with something, with an ailment, for example, and often the work I'm teaching is to help understand that the ailment may be more of a metaphor, maybe more mirroring something deeper that's taking place underneath. I'm not saying that's the same with all illness, or ailments, but it can often be that these things are guiding, are like nudges from the person to help them discover something about themselves. And crystal healing can be immensely relaxing process when you have all crystals around you and the crystal energy focusing, especially on the chakra system, focusing on clearing the chakras, on clearing the energy that may have stored itself in certain chakras. So a lot of crystal healing actually is working on moving the energy through the chakra system, collecting any debris that may have accumulated in any of the chakras in order to the chakras to move back into optimum health.
When they're working with the crystals, and there are different energies that you feel with certain crystals. I remember the first time I programmed, I was helping somebody who was ill, and I programmed the crystal to help me with this. And so I inserted it like a memo or like a recording into this crystal. And I said, to remind me that we are working on healing. When I pick up this crystal, I'm working on healing for this person's name. And 6 months later, after we had completed this session and this journey, I went back and I picked up the crystal, and I had that sentence that I had put into the crystal, which I had totally at that point, I had forgotten because it was successful and we moved forward and it was no longer part of my daily awareness, but it was still there. And I remember that feeling of just amazement that it worked so well, more than than I was aware at the time. And knowing that these guys are so powerful, and remembering a lot of this is about respecting, even though it doesn't have that human physical form, this is an essence, an energy that has some kind of frequency that does communicate with us if we are receptive and acknowledge that they also require delicacy and require sometimes the ability to say, no, I don't want to work with you.
Some crystals can be very demanding, yeah.
that's what's so, I think, so rewarding about this. When you do make these connections and you do learn, and I'm glad to hear that it takes 2 years, because it is a process. And like I said, 6 months after I had this this challenge with the healing and helping and just programming the crystal to remind me, now we're focusing on healing and we're sending the energy with this crystal, and the crystal had agreed to be part of it. I, asked permission, can we do this? Can we work together? And that person went into remission. It was wonderful. So it was a good experience. And so I was done with the crystal, but I forgot the crystal still had the programming. And that's what I remembered by picking it up and learning 6 months later. Oh yeah, it's still in the crystal library. It's right there.
Yeah. They have an immense capability of remembering and transmitting. And whether you do that consciously or not, to consciously program, many crystals carry their own program anyway. And yeah, you make a very important point about respect and integrity when working with crystals as well. To learn to clean them as well, which is a simple way of washing them in the water. And to seeing that crystals accumulate energy, they're working on our behalf. And it's important to remember that sometimes they need a break from ours as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's what I learned a lot of, was that just because I have an idea and I want to work with something and I know this is the book that tells me, or this is what somebody suggested, it's still a little being that requires me to maintain my own sense of distance, my boundary, and not just incorporate it and use it as a slave or try to do something like that. And I think that's where we as humans tend to forget that everything around us is some form of essence of energy that has its own unique presence, its own unique awareness, And when we forget to be respectful of that, it's when we get into trouble, because then we start dominating or overpowering. And it's a learning experience. It really is. It causes all sorts of cool and exciting and surprising things to happen that you didn't know were possible until you start getting into something like this. And that's why I think your book and your information, this type of information, is so powerful at this time to help people expand their horizons and awareness. The first time they get a hit on this and it's like, oh, it worked. It's like, whoa, the door opens and your mind just, it's like candy. Okay. You just begin to see there's more to the equation, and you want to find out more. To me, it just makes you want to explore and learn. Does that make sense?
It does indeed. You people, if pretty we didn't live nearer, I think we'd really get on a course. Because my work is really just helping people to take seriously their sensitivity, their intuitive sensitivity, and to, if they like, to incorporate that as part of their journey, to also make careers from that if they like, to see that our intuition, this time we're in at the moment, our intuition has sort of stepped up to support us in a way. But of course, it can't do it for us. We need to trust with it. We need to connect with it. And we need to reclaim intuition as an integral part of our sort of sensory network system that can guide us along with our other senses as well. And for me, crystals, that's where their strengths lie, in they open our sensitivity. And when we're sensitive to crystals and their energy, it naturally overflows that then we become sensitive to our environment, to nature, to animals, to other human beings. And it just, you know, overflows that we become, I would hope, more responsible human beings, because we're aware that everything we're doing is emitting energy and sending out energy, and therefore all of life is doing the same, and all of life requires the same sort of respect.
When you're doing this kind of work, is there anything that you, as you work, that you find helps facilitate the process? Does it make a difference if you change your diet, if you change your lifestyle to accommodate this? Because sometimes that is also a matter of toning things down and tuning things out, or at least giving yourself space to learn. And some people say, oh, more water and vegetarian and all, you know, there's a lot of controversy now about how to be the right type of student. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, and this does come up in my courses, actually. And I'm, if you'd asked me this in my 20s, I would have said, oh, yes, you know, a vegetarian diet. And I was a strict vegan and vegetarian for about 20 years. And I noticed when I turned 40, I'm 49 now, when I turned 40, something changed in my body. And I had never, I'd not eaten meat, or any dairy products for a long time. But I always vowed that I would not put my body at risk. And around 40, something in me shifted, and I noticed that I started craving meat. And that was quite a difficult process for me, because a lot of my identity was around being a vegan and a vegetarian. And after quite a lot of, probably about a two-year journey of trying to process that experience, because my body was talking to me in a different way. It was saying very clearly to me that it needed meat. Not a lot of meat, but
right,
some meat.
Right. And I understand exactly what you're saying, because I went through a period where I very, very little meat and no meat for a few years. And then all of a sudden I was getting these messages of, you have to do this. Now, it's not about... it's about also having respect for the animal who has contributed and has given their essence, their energy, and the type of the way they're being treated. I think a lot of it speaks to if you do eat meat, then you're part of an equation that could possibly change the way these animals who are part of the food chain are being treated. If you're going to eat free-range chicken, then you want them to actually be free-range, not just in there in like a barn with no cages. You want them to actually go out and be able to be in a yard with grass, with bugs, the natural free-range, not just labeled free-range. So if you're not in that, if you're not in that cycle, then you don't have the power to activate and engage and push change. So I think a lot of people, in my own way of viewing this, are drawn to be, to go back into that, to say we have to be better stewards and shepherds of the animals who are in our environment and in our system. And the only way to do that is to be part of that chain. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And I think the, you know, if we're going to be a part of the system that eats meat, for example, then I think we need to then be very, I'm very conscious of the source of my meat, that it's organic, free range is a bottom line for me. And but it's not that I eat a great deal of meat at all, but what I generally do now is I follow my the feelings of my body. So I can go for quite some time without even thinking about meat or requiring it.
Yeah.
And then suddenly I do. And my body sort of indicates that it needs some. And so I follow that through. And then I can go for quite a long time without any as well. So I've, when I turn 40, I'm now on a diet. And I don't believe in dogma, and I also don't believe in vegetarian or vegan dogma. Anything that tells people what to do with their bodies, I don't like at all. I don't like anyone telling me what to do with my body. And I think anything that traps us, and that can be, we have a strict belief that we must be vegetarian. I personally don't think vegetarianism or veganism makes us more spiritual or less spiritual. I think that's...
it's a judgment.
If you'd asked me at 2020, I would have said it does, but I don't believe that now. I believe that actually following our body's needs and our requirements is of utmost importance without neglecting our body. Because, you know, I would like to have this body for as long as possible, and I would like to have it as healthy for as long as possible. And we're spiritual beings inhabiting these wonderful human forms. And it's important to maintain a strong, healthy body. I go running, for example. I go cycling. And I'm very conscious of that my body needs exercise. It enjoys exercising. It enjoys sometimes meat. And I don't know. I've sort of got to a stage in my life where I've learned to get that balance right for myself, but I would never say that's the same for anyone else at all. It's just my own personal journey.
I wanted to bring that up because I hear a lot of discussions and a lot of heated conversations one way or the other, and I do think it brings judgment into the equation. I know I've had some very profound spiritual experiences, and I was still eating meat, so it didn't take away from being spiritual or having that divine connection that just blows you away and reminds you that we are so incredible. The things here are so beautiful beyond our ability to express, but it didn't make a difference with my diet. Now, if I want to keep my body for a while, I know I have to honor. There are certain things about my diet that I need to avoid.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or minimize. But that's the thing. Coming into this, because the crystals, when you are around them, sometimes they will exacerbate symptoms that you may think it's being caused by a diet when it's caused by your thinking.
Yes, and also sometimes when I'm teaching and I'm around a lot of crystals, that's probably the time I'm around most crystals, is I notice that I don't have any feeling for food. And that's really interesting. But the moment I stop teaching and my class is emptied, I am ravenous.
Yes.
Very, very strange. I sort of think, oh, this is really interesting. I've got no, I don't feel I need any food But I think that's a lot to do with the energy of crystals. I think that's possible.
Yes.
And there, I think
yes.
there's many, many ways of us living as human spiritual beings. And I know some breatharians, for example. I know people who live on prana.
Mm-hmm.
And I think each to their own. But I don't think anyone's got the right to say this is more spiritual than that. I think everyone has to work out their own way of living with their body, the best of their ability in the world. And sometimes that's no food. Sometimes that's vegetarian, vegan, eating meat.
It's a learning process.
You need to feel free and not feel, I cannot do that because I'm worried about what people would think. And I think that's really dangerous.
Okay. Are you getting any messages as you deal with the crystals now that might be different and might be more of an overview of what cycles we're entering? As you're saying, the new earth, they're dealing with the new earth attunements. What is that information?
My feeling and information on it is that since 2012, we've moved into a new possibility for humanity and what I call the new earth. Funnily enough, Eckhart Tolle brought out a book with the same subject as well. So obviously this energy is out there. And my information from the crystals is that we're collectively moving into very uncharted territory, very good territory, but we're moving into, this is the way my mind understands it, and the impressions the crystal kingdom gives me, is that there's a dimensional awareness, a dimensional lightness, which is being born as we speak, and is probably going to last for many of us the rest of our incarnation, that somehow, and I don't know the science behind it, and I can't quite get my head around how this is going to be, but the way I understand it is they're going to be the what I call the old earth, which has been moving and playing out all its different games through humanity for thousands and thousands of years, and this new earth, which is somehow parallel to it, and at the moment the two are overlapping, and at some point they will separate and the new earth will move in a different direction and a new dimensional direction. I don't think there's going to be a physical new earth, but who knows? I mean, maybe it's just my limited understanding of it, but I can't see that myself. And the way I experience this, because often when the crystals give me information, it's important to me that I experience it rather than just believe it and say, oh, you told me that, therefore it's true. I have to feel it for myself. And the way I feel it and experience it is that I find when I'm around people of a similar mindset, a similar energy, there's a sort of coalescence of our energy. There's a familiarity of our energy. And when I'm around large groups of people who are just going around their ordinary business, I find that more of a challenging, more than I used to. And it seems to be people of a sort of spiritual nature, whatever that spiritual nature may be, when we're together, that is the sort of that is the energy and the harmony of the new earth. And somehow we're going to have to expand upon that energy. And I don't mean we're going to have to live together in communes or anything, but that's how I understand it, that this energy that we create together through our community is the energy of the new earth, and that will just get bigger and bigger, and the old earth for many of us will fall away, will slip away. But we have to be careful, because the old earth's habits pull us back, allow us to sort of get caught back up in duality and dualistic thinking and ways of behavior. So we might think, oh, I'm really on the new earth, everything's flowing and easy, and then boom, something in life will come and pull us back into the old earth. And
kink. Okay, that's just a kink. It'll work itself out.
yeah, absolutely. But those pulling backs will become shorter and shorter and less, But of course, it's our own personal responsibility of where do we place ourselves. Do we place ourselves in a loving, open environment that resonates, or do we place ourselves and stay in a sort of world of dualistic thinking and behavior of I'm right, they're wrong, and black and white, and all those things that go along with duality? You know, it depends on where we, what world we want to stand upon, really.
Okay, and this is where we break. So we're looking at the new earth on the horizon and moving toward that. And if you want help with this, Michael Eastwood is your source. Crystal Oversoul, New Earth Attunements. You can get the cards, you can get the books, you can get the CD. You can do everything on his website. Go ahead, we got a minute, so just please, the website for people to contact you.
My website is aristia.co.uk, and Aristia is spelled aristia.co.uk.
And you can listen to this show over and over, because if you want to take notes and learn a little bit more, there's a lot of good content in here, okay? How's that? That work, Michael?
Yay, that sounds very good. I'm going to listen to it.
Thank you.
I'm going to share
Thank
it all
so
over
much.
My social media.
All right. And if you want to get in touch with us, you can do that. I am at Talking to Nightlights on Facebook. Wendy Garrett. It's Empower Radio. Thank you for listening. See ya.